Hi, Ruby here. This is podcast number 11. And I went to a party tonight, and I had like 3 margaritas at the margarita bar, where there was the cutest bartender ever. He not only bartends, he's a personal trainer. Reed, gorgeous body, with a chiseled jaw, and he's like total model material. I think there were a lot of drunk people at that party because of the bartender. Oh, and my neighbors had the party, and I was able to walk to it, and I got to walk home. And now it's podcast time, so here I am. I will try and pull this together. I am a happy Ruby tonight. So, what does a happy Ruby do but start off talking about hemorrhoids? You gotta love this one. Okay, hemorrhoids. What are they? Does anal sex, for example, pegging, cause and or exacerbate them? Can anything be done to prevent hemorrhoids? If they do occur, what, if anything, can be done about them? Thank you. Hemorrhoids are actually vascular structures in the anal canal which help with stool control, and they become pathological when they're swollen or inflamed. So let's dispel a few myths here. No, you cannot catch hemorrhoids. No, hemorrhoids are not contagious. No, anal sex will not cause more hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids can be external and internal. The internal ones can be pain-free, but perhaps bleed a little bit occasionally. The external ones are usually painful as well as the bleeding. Okay, and let's give you some stats here. Over half the U.S. population over the age of 30 will develop hemorrhoids to one extent or another. Here's the risk factors for getting hemorrhoids. Getting older, pregnancy. I had to include that one. It totally cracks me up, though. Here I am on a pegging website, so obviously the people thinking about things going in their ass and hemorrhoids are men here, but pregnancy is definitely a factor for hemorrhoids. Women get it a fair amount with pregnancy. You guys don't have to worry about that. Another factor, risk factor for getting hemorrhoids, is straining during bowel movements. Bad idea. Chronic constipation. And anything that excessively stretches the tissue over time due to potential thinning of the skin and bulging of the veins. So, excessively stretches, here is the key factor. There is nothing out there that shows that anal sex causes hemorrhoids. Nothing at all, even though you've got this part here that says anything that excessively stretches the tissue over time. Stretches the tissue over time, so you're stretching it to a certain extent, but not beyond that, and I've told you people before, please be reasonable about that. Again, I know there's people out there who do fisting, they do these humongous insertions, and they're totally fine, and a lot of them have no hemorrhoids, you know, they're not incontinent, and all these things that people fear when you start getting into more extreme anal play. I can't say that I recommend that, although there's a whole bunch of people that do it. Definitely not the majority, but there you go. I have to present both sides of this. Okay, trying to avoid hemorrhoids, things that can help either reduce the recurrence of them or avoid them, is you avoid constipation, which can cause hemorrhoids because of the straining, by eating plenty of fiber, which means fruits and vegetables. This keeps the stool softer and stimulates the colon to move out the way so you don't have the constipation. And you take care to not strain during bowel movements. It does say take stool softeners and laxatives as needed, though. You know, if you do that, I'm always the herbal person. Forget all the medications and stuff that have side effects. But that is one option as well. If you already have hemorrhoids, then you know that they can occasionally become swollen and inflamed and painful. And when you have bowel movements, you can feel that they are swollen and inflamed. There's different ways to deal with this. There are medications that you can take that reduce the inflammation. They have like a sitz bath where you sit in warm water. And time as well usually lets these heal. Certainly when they're inflamed, you do not want to do pegging, obviously. And you should be fine, though, once it's healed, and by healed I mean, you know, back down to the not inflamed size. You know, you don't have these inflamed veins, called hemorrhoids, in your rectum. They are calmed down and not symptomatic. So that's what I mean by healed. Because I don't think, I'm not a doctor, but I don't think hemorrhoids, if you have like a little tag of flesh there that occasionally becomes inflamed, that's what hemorrhoid would be. I don't think they ever completely like go back into the rectum. You certainly can have surgery done for problematic ones where they will tie those off sometimes, or they do surgery and cut them and stitch them and different things like this. But unless they're a huge problem, I don't think that that's an option that most people want to take, because that's a little more extreme. So if you have them and you indulge in pegging, just give yourself some time to recover from any kind of symptomatic inflamed hemorrhoids. Eat right, lots of fluids, don't irritate those by doing the pegging, and wait until they're healed, and you should totally be fine. Once area is healed and not swollen, bleeding, or painful, you should be fine to return to having anal sex. And, you know, with the caveat of lots of lube, not too huge, and, you know, the cardinal rule is also, always, if it hurts, stop. So, you know, that's part of it too. Hemorrhoids, painful, stop. So that's the best sort of guidance I can give you on this. And pegging does not cause them. That's probably one of the more important things, is that there is no evidence that pegging causes hemorrhoids at all. Okay, my next question. We are an Indian couple. Parentheses, sex toys in India are banned. We have one of those rubber crystal jelly 18-inch dildos and using a cricket batsman abdominal guard, we converted it into a harness for pegging. She puts half of the dildo in her pussy and the other part goes in my anus during the pegging. I just wanted to know if using such a dildo, parentheses, is it too hard to be safe? Which is flexible, but still quite a solid thing, and hard, too. I just wanted to know if, by using this, we are not hurting anything inside me, though the pegging is absolute bliss for her, since she never fails to squirt, and I, too, come sometimes. But I never fail to feel so happy to have made her feel like a man and squirt by pegging me. But the question still nags. If the dildo used is safe or not. Please advise, thanking you in anticipation. Okay, rubber crystal jelly 18-inch dildo. Here's what I'm picturing. One of those big, long, colored jelly dildos. One part goes in her, one part goes in him. First of all, let me commend you on your innovation. I had no idea that sex toys were banned in India. I discovered that through your email, and I had a moment of feeling so thankful for the freedoms I have in the United States. There might be a lot of fucked up things about this country, but thinking about living somewhere where I do not have my own sexual freedom to go and buy sex toys if I want to is very sad. So I feel for you guys, and I applaud your inventiveness. I loved hearing your description of the cricket batsman abdominal guard that you modified to basically make a pegging harness. Now, if the only thing that you have access to is this rubber crystal jelly 18-inch dildo, what you need to know about that dildo is that it is porous, which means it will let bacteria in and it cannot be sterilized. And it actually has some chemicals that aren't good that leach into your skin, which is called, these chemicals are called phthalates. So that part isn't as important as how to deal with this. The best way to deal with this is to put condoms on both ends of this toy. Anything that goes in you or in her needs to be covered with a condom. I really hope you have access to condoms, because this is important with this toy. If you continue to use this and you don't use condoms on it, she could get UTIs, which is a urinary tract infection, because there could be bacteria that stays in the dildo itself that ends up giving her an infection. So this is not good. And also, especially, you're concerned about bacteria because if you were using one end of this anally, that's a lot of bacteria. So that part is what I am more concerned about in terms of safety, as opposed to what you were actually asking about, which is if it's too hard to be safe. Usually the guide on if it's too hard is if it hurts. If you're not in pain, as long as you are not using any kind of lube that numbs the inside of your anus, of your rectum, you're good. If you're not feeling pain, then it's not too firm. There are men out there that really prefer very firm stimulation. In fact, there are men who, perhaps not used for pegging, but handheld glass dildos. There are even ceramic dildos in harnesses that are just so slick and smooth on the surface, but they are quite firm, you know, ceramic, hard, hard, hard. So I wouldn't worry about that thing so much as I would the potential for it to spread bacteria, the lack of being able to sterilize it. Always, always put condoms on those and always throw them away as soon as you're done. And try and pull those things down as far as you can so no part of that dildo is coming in contact with parts of you that is not covered. That would be the best solution for this. It made me want to pack up suitcases full of sex toys and come over to India, which no doubt I would never make it through customs, but I feel for you guys, goodness sakes. I would love to be able to give you a really quality sex toy. So thanks for writing in. I hope I answered your question. And have fun with that. I'm not sure if anybody else listening in India or somewhere else would have thought to use the Cricket Batsman Abdominal Guard, but there you go. Okay, I applaud your inventiveness once again. Here's another letter I received. I have been following your blog for about 6 months and have signed up for the full I Want It All subscription. I have enjoyed the steady mix of your erotica, advice, pictures, and podcasts. Well done. I wrote earlier that for a while now, a number of years, that I have lacked the courage to ask my wife of 20 years to fulfill my pegging fantasy. With your guidance, blog and articles, and letting go of fear of rejection over our recent summer holidays, I plucked up the courage to share my pegging fantasy with her. It started off badly, as I wanted to show her two things. Our 5-year-old daughter had found one of them and was running around with it, a Jimmy Jane cock ring, thinking it was a hex bug, which is a kid's toy. I thought it was very funny. My wife was appalled as she did not know what it was, but had seen it on her finger playing with our friend's kids, saying, "Mine is bigger than yours." So I thought, oh my, this is not going well at all. Indecision time, but I kept moving forward, knowing that I would not have many opportunities. My next item and my entrance to sharing my pegging fantasy was to show her my recent purchase, the black lace velvet harness, thanks to you again, without the Fun Factory share dildo, as I felt it would be too much. She liked the harness and listened as I shared my fears of sharing with her and explained my wanting to act out my fantasy as an act of intimacy and sharing. She was overwhelmed with joy from my sharing of my innermost feelings and fears. The actual act itself may be a letdown, but I think it will be intense and fun when it happens. We will follow your advice about how to prepare for the day that it happens, even if it does not happen. I have shared some of my most deepest desires, and after 20 years of marriage, it feels good to be doing that. You know, I get these amazing messages from you readers and listeners, and sometimes they stick with me and impress upon me so deeply that I think I've already talked about them in my last podcast, because that story stuck in my head. I read that email, and in fact, I referenced this letter in my last podcast as if I already read this to you, but I didn't. I mentioned about, you know, hey, what about that guy who after 20 years, he talked to his wife? Well, this is the one. This is the one. So I'm catching up with myself, and I'm sharing this with you, this sweet, sweet story about a man overcoming his fears and sharing his desires. And, you know, the pegging turned out to be secondary. The most important thing, according to this man's description, the most important thing to his wife was that her husband of 20 years was actually sharing his innermost feelings and fears with her. That's intimacy, people. That is intimacy. And if you can do that, then the chances that you're going to get a good response, I believe, are much better. One of the things that happens when you do that is you make yourself vulnerable. Now, is that scary? Absolutely, it's scary. It's way scary. But you are opening yourself up. And that act of opening yourself up, okay, one of my mantras, probably said this before, is open with love instead of constricting with fear. In each and every moment, we all have the choice to either open with love or constrict with fear. If you're really scared of your partner having a bad reaction to the pegging, then one of the ways to get beyond that is to not deny the fear, but to open yourself up and communicate that fear in the most vulnerable and sharing and close way that you can. Is it risky? Yes, it is. It's absolutely risky. And I even, you know, I get a little scared when I say that, when I give that advice, because I've gotten some letters of bad experiences. I really have. But if you have been married for 20 years, and this is a part of yourself you've never shared with your partner, that's a deep, wonderful, amazing thing to kind of hide for so long. And perhaps I'm really idealistic, you know? You don't see me with the relationship for 20 years, so take that as a grain of salt, you know, whatever. With a grain of salt. It still seems like this is such an important thing to be able to do with a long-term partner. Open up and share those fears and desires and longings. That is what really creates the deepness and the stability and the amazing connection that you can have. And this letter shows that. So good on you, guy, you know? That's totally awesome. And the last thing that this man wrote in his letters, he said, I heard in your podcast that you will be doing a pegging class for women. I wonder if you could do a podcast with a theme just for women. I absolutely can. Sure, I will. Probably within the next few podcasts, and I think it's a great idea, so thank you very much. Okay, this last one just really opened up a whole big can of worms and a whole big thing inside me. Check it out. Check this letter out. Do you think you could make a post addressed towards not quite out of the closet, by closet couples? Sort of an inverse version of your other great entries where you reassure girlfriends and their guys that they aren't gay because they enjoy pegging. Like a post centered on the girl engaging in some dirty talk in pegging sessions where she quizzes her guy on same-sex fantasies. I love it when my girlfriend goes to town on my ass and calls me her toy, bitch, slut, etc. But I have to admit, the idea of her teasing me about being into guys while she pegs me, asking me if I wish the cock in my ass were real, if I check out guys, etc., turns me on. We're both really accepting, support gay marriage and all that. She's even admitted to her bi curiosity. And she's dropped a few hints that make me think she suspects, but I just haven't been able to bring it up to her because I feel like it would change the dynamic of our relationship in ways pegging doesn't. It's just so embarrassing when it's personal, you know? Basically, a level 2 post easing the guy and girl to encourage some bisexual themes during pegging. I think others would really appreciate it, and I think it would fit in with the whole pegging experience, but I understand if you think otherwise and or prefer not to. Thanks, I love your work, a pegging fan. This is a wild one because while I have made brief mentions about bisexuality in my writings and things, I've never really explored it any further than that because I have been so busy reassuring men and their women that no, he's not gay if he likes pegging. And yet, obviously things are not as cut and dried as that. And upon reflection, you know, I hesitated to address the bisexual pegging fans because the gay misconception and assumption is so strong that sometimes I feel I have to counter it with everything I've got. Those fears are so great in people, it's wild. But that really does a disservice to bisexual people. This reader's point is really well taken. You know, what about the bisexual guys? I work so hard to convince people that pegging isn't gay that I left no room for the men who would love to feel a cock slide up their ass just as much as a dildo. So let me go back to this one part that you wrote, reader. You wrote, "She's dropped a few hints that make me think she suspects, but I just haven't been able to bring it up to her because I feel like it would change the dynamic of our relationship in ways pegging doesn't." Well, yes, no shit, it would. I mean, but don't assume it would be a bad change. Here's the contrasting possibilities. You share that with her about your bi curiosity, your bi leanings, and here's one possibility, one extreme. She's scared she'll lose you. Here's another extreme. She wants another man in bed with the two of you. I mean, there's a whole spectrum of possibilities in between those two. Those are the extremes, okay? But I mean, where are you without divulging that? You're thinking a lot about it, but you're not able to share that part of you with the person in your life who you love, who you've committed to. And yeah, it can be embarrassing, but if there's one person maybe it's good to be able to be embarrassed with, wouldn't it be your intimate partner? The one you fuck and suck and fuck again, the one who fucks you until you're swooning? Unless you know that she's already got a hot button on this issue or is too conservative to handle the very idea, what do you have to lose? Especially if, I mean, if she's already saying things like, "Do you wish this was a real cock inside you?" I think you're pretty much, you've got not just one foot in the door, you've got both feet in the door. Women that have hot buttons on that do not talk about their pegging equipment as, "Don't you wish this was a real cock?" If they're still stuck in the fear that if they peg you and you like it or you love it, that they're going to lose you to a man because a man can fuck you better than they can, they're not going to be joking about that when they fuck you, okay? So I think that that is something to pay attention to as well. I think the most concerning and perhaps the most difficult block for most women to break through is the, "I can't give him a real cock and so he doesn't need me anymore," that whole fear of being replaced. So the reassurance that you're never looking to replace her needs needs to be like front and center. And after I've said all that, goodness sakes, there is so much emphasis on labels here. Labels, labels, labels. I mean, if you're attracted to women, cool. If you're attracted to men too, cool. If you're attracted to just men, awesome. If a man enjoys anal stimulation from either gender, that's awesome. Labels can be useful in some circumstances to describe and to let people know about yourself. But, you know, usually I find that labels serve to separate people and distance them from each other more than doing good. I mean, there's a whole lot of straight guys that spend way too much time protesting that they're not gay. And then there probably are bisexual guys who think the straight guys are weird because they put so much emphasis on not being gay, even to the point of, you know, the whole "methinks thou doth protest too much." If you're putting that much emphasis on it, maybe you've got a little bi in you. As this reader suggested, you know, incorporating the bisexual component into pegging really presents some interesting and delicious possibilities. And this goes for bi men, you know, confirmed or out, or, you know you are but you're not out, as well as just the bi curious men. The dirty talk in bed, I mean, if your woman knows that you are bi curious, the dirty talk in bed can be really fun because you've got a whole other gender to talk about. You've got all this stuff. And especially if your guy is bi-curious and he's admitted that to you, even if it never goes beyond bi-curious, even if it's just something that he fantasizes about, and the two of you totally get off with fantasizing and talking about it and doing dirty talk while you're pegging him, which is a wonderful time to do it. I mean, it's almost like you can just pretend you're the guy, right? And let's just say it never goes any further than that. That still is so luscious, and it's wonderful. And it can be that, from that to that you guys decide maybe you want to have another guy in your bed because the bi-curiosity has gone to, okay, let's try out this bisexuality. So there's so many different possibilities. Let's see. I mean, you can be talking about it being a real cock while she's fucking him and how much he might want to feel that cock slide inside him. My particular fantasy is a male-male-female, and I fuck him while he's fucking the other guy. So, you know, there's that one. Feel free to borrow that one. I think it's a totally hot one. Know that there are a fair amount of women out there, not just women who do pegging. There are a fair amount of women out there who get off on gay porn. Interestingly enough, lesbian women get off on gay porn, but let's throw that aside for the moment, and I'm not going to get off course here. A fair amount of women get off on watching gay porn, me included. As a matter of fact, I have a little gem to give you if you have not found out about this yet, ladies. Andrew Christian Underwear website videos. Holy shit. Who needs porn, man? Put it in Google. Andrew Christian Underwear, spelled just like it sounds. Wow. Okay, so fair amount of women get off on gay porn, so I think they would be pretty happy to hear their men are having those fantasies. As long as the risk of losing them to a guy feels more non-existent, and of course that comes down to how stable is your relationship, how intimate are you, how much have you been so open and communicative and straight with each other, and I don't mean straight as opposed to straight and bi, I just mean honest in sharing your hopes and desires, that they feel totally solid that you're never going to up and leave them for a guy, okay? Because this is that whole fear that women do. And, you know, this is all achieved through good, clean communication. Let me give you an example. There are ways to talk about things. If you're a guy and you're talking to your woman and she's got concerns about, you know, if you like to feel something up your ass, why wouldn't you leave me for a guy? He can give you that. Of course, this fear is going to be a little more pronounced if we're talking about a bisexual man or a bi-curious man, because that's a reality. It's not a straight man going, okay, hello, I love women, I don't really like being with men. That's an easier one. But if you've got a bisexual man on your hands, the possibility that you may indeed lose this guy to a man is, that can feel a little frustrating because there's no way you can compete. I mean, you can compete as best you can with your dildo and, you know, fucking him and pegging him, but you get my point. It's like men saying they can't compete with another woman when their woman has a female lover. It's you're the different gender, so you feel like you can't compete. If you're in this situation, and you're a man, and she's having some issues with this, you do not want to say, you're silly to think I would leave you. Of course I would never do that. You would rather say, I would never leave you no matter what man came along. So you want to use I statements, you want to communicate cleanly, and you know, there's a lot to good communication and gentle communication as opposed to accusatory things or stuff like that. I mean, an open expression of attraction to men and a desire to explore that with agreed upon boundaries that feel comfortable to both of you can indeed be a wonderful thing to encourage that bisexuality to come out. I like Dan Savage's advice to the bisexual people out there to come out. I mean, he puts a lot of pressure on him, and, you know, it's easy for him to say because he's gay and he had to come out. I don't have a clue what it's like to have sexual leanings towards the same gender and or both genders and feel like I'm hiding a part of myself. The most I've ever done is have some really luscious kissing with a woman I didn't want to go any further with and have never wanted to since, even though we've done more kissing since then. But my point is that Dan Savage encourages bisexual people to come out. That's sort of like it's their duty because this isn't so linear. These labels are not so rigid. There's the whole Kinsey scale of measuring your sexuality in terms of whether you're attracted to both genders or one. And very few people who take that test, if you put Kinsey in, Kinsey scale, in Google, you can read all about it. And very few people score like 100% straight. There are so many different levels of it. There's so many shades of gray. Oh my God, did I just say that phrase? No, let's not go there. It's like that book has totally ruined that phrase. The point being, there's all kinds of in-betweens. It's not rigid. That's the whole point. So if you're in a relationship talking about it and playing with the idea, maybe it's as far as it goes. If that's comfortable and gets you both off, that's awesome. If it never gets to reality, that's still fine and it's fun. And the key word here is it's like shared fantasy material and it's fun. So the communication, I like, do it, people. And that's the answer a lot of times with these things, and I make it sound so easy. Yeah, sure, just tell them, just communicate with them. But honestly, I was kind of floored tonight, because at the party that I was at with the margaritas and the way cute bartender, there's a friend of mine that shared some stuff with me that he's too scared to share with his partner. And you know, yeah, we were all drinking margaritas, but he's got a lot invested in that partner. But with that investment, not only comes the risk, but, you know, ideally, what that investment is in that long-term relationship is the trust that your partner can handle that communication without freaking out. So, talk about it, people. If you're already to the point where you know this about each other, like, this is what the reader suggested, is that you're with a partner and you already know that they're bi-curious or that they are bisexual but not out. You know, the beginnings of that intersection between bisexuality and pegging can be really sweet because of the whole fantasy thing, because of the role reversal. That leaves a lot of interesting and creative ideas, cross-dressing if you like, talking about being the man while you're fucking him, talking about, you know, feeling like a woman while you're getting fucked. I mean, all kinds of different things. So there is an interesting concept that someone brought up to me recently, and I'm going to have to get in touch with him, this friend of mine, and find out where he read about this. But he mentioned this one person's theory about how there's different components of homosexuality. In other words, you can be romantically homosexual, and you can be physically or sexually homosexual. Meaning, in his case, he loves to get fucked by men, but he does not have any kind of romantic leanings towards them. You know, none of the cozy, cuddling, kissing, romantic stuff. So you could say that sexually, he's bisexual, but romantically, he's actually heterosexual. He's straight because he really only likes doing that with women. And I find that a very useful way to define things. I think that we all have different parts that we need to recognize about all of this. Here's another example. I am taking off tomorrow on an adventure to Oregon to see a man who has challenged that notion of straight versus bi. In his sharing about an encounter he had with a T-girl a few months ago, and in his description, which I wrote up during May, it was one of the my friends who told me about something that happened to them, and I ended up using it as masturbation fantasy, because as we all know, May was masturbation month. So he told his story to me, and one of the things he said was that at one point in time, he gave her a blowjob, which surprised me. And, you know, it didn't faze him at all. He said, hey, she's a chick with a dick. It's no big deal. I'm totally down to give her equal pleasure. So here's an example of where labels just don't fit. He doesn't really consider himself bi at all. But, you know, try to tell any really intensely straight guy that this friend of mine will suck a cock, but he doesn't consider himself bi, and you'd likely get a pretty intense argument. You know, I just want to sweep all that aside because it doesn't really matter. Let's all throw out the labels, start talking to your partners, and be true to yourself. If you're bi, come out and claim it. And the more people that do that, the more people that will follow suit. And then I think what's going to happen is we're really going to find out how fluid our sexuality is. The only indicator thus far, the only measurement of this has been that Kinsey scale that I mentioned. But, you know, looking at sexuality a little less rigidly, I think would benefit all of us. And I think that this is where our society is actually headed. We're going to be throwing out a whole lot of the labels. And like the younger generation tries to tell people, do not stick these labels on me. What it has to do with is whether or not I, as a person, am attracted to that other person, no matter what gender they are, no matter what race they are, no matter what they call themselves orientation-wise, it is between me and that other person. So don't label me because of that other person, because with a different person, it can be completely different, and your labels just don't fit. I love this attitude. It makes it ridiculous to put the labels on. And after all that, what do we need these labels for anyway? They cause division, they cause separation, they cause fear, they cause all kinds of stuff. Alrighty, so, like I said, opened up a can of worms, got me way, way thinking, and perhaps I get a little more valuable with the margaritas. Perhaps. You'll all have to let me know. Alright, you can follow me on Twitter, Ruby_Ryder. You can follow me on Facebook. You can subscribe to my blog if you like, and buttons for all those things are on the left-hand side of my website. This, dear readers, is the last week that my subscription sale will be going. If you are not a subscriber, this is the last week that you can get the top-of-the-level subscription for $50. Usually, you're going to be able to get this for $30, and this is per year, people, per year. What you're going to get for that, usually 50, but for one more week, 30, is you're going to get a story a month for a year, and you're also going to get everything on my website in the archives, which right now numbers 26 erotic stories. So do the math. That's absolutely less than a dollar a story, which just kind of floors me that I'm selling it for that, but you know what? This is a two-way street here. I love writing. I love writing erotica. I love that I can turn you people on with my words. But if you weren't down for listening to my stories, then it would be kind of like, I mentioned this in my blog, it would be like masturbating. It would be satisfying because I get to write those stories, and I love to write. But it would be comparing masturbating to having sex with somebody. And the having sex, the feedback, the having someone there, and you know, the other side of the equation is much, much more satisfying to me. I love knowing that people read my stories and totally get turned on by them. That is an awesome feeling. So thank you all for being out there. And if you want to take advantage of this subscription, you got one more week to do it. You will not see this price again until next year sometime. Send me your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com. If you want to go to my website, there's a link to email me at the bottom of every page. It says write Ruby. And I think after the long party and the margaritas and the incredibly long thinking, deeply monologue about bisexuality and pegging, I think I'm done. And I am curious to hear about the feedback about the bisexual stuff. I want to hear from people who have been there, done that, who are there now, what their thoughts are. That's where I get a lot of my good stuff, is from you people, when you guys share with me. So please do. And until next week, I will be up in Oregon having a great time. But I will absolutely be sending another podcast your way next Monday. So have a wonderful week. This is Ruby Ryder, Pegging Paradise.